kommer du att ramla ner.
Listening to WONY Oneonta, 90.9 FM, Red Dragon Radio.
We, as student leaders and members of student-run organizations, recognize the urgent need for community solidarity in the face of recent immigration raids, attacks on DEI initiatives, trans rights, and safe spaces on our campus and the world around us.
As students, we share feelings of fear, uncertainty, and vulnerability during these times. As our identities, histories, and families continue to be under attack, we have chosen to take action and refuse anticipatory obedience.
Our clubs and organizations stand united as safe havens for all students navigating these challenging times. We commit ourselves to utilizing our collective platforms to amplify this message, offer community support, and mobilize for a call to action. Together, we remain focused in our efforts to protect and uplift communities in need.
For more resources, feel free to contact the Student Association office or reach out to any of the clubs and organizations listed on our Instagram page.
Hey everyone, you're listening to the WONY Weekly Update. Here's some upcoming events to look forward to. On Wednesday, April 8th at 4 p.m., the women's lacrosse team plays New Paltz at the Red Dragon Field. On Thursday, April 9th, join the Love and Literature Club for a mocktails and mingling event happening at 6 p.m. in Fitzell Room 203. And from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. from Monday through Thursday, head on over to the Alden Room for the Alden Room Scavenger Hunt. On Friday, April 10th, Backyard Beats is hosting a midday music festival at 3:30 in the Hunt Union waterfront. On Saturday, April 11th, see the planetarium show Messengers of Time and Space from 10:30 to 11:15 or the Sky Tonight show from 11:30 to 12:15 in the Perna Science Planetarium, room 018A. Tickets available online. Also on Saturday, men's lacrosse plays Cortland at the Red Dragon Field at 1 p.m. On Sunday, April 12th, join WONY for our general body meeting happening at Fitzell Hall, room 303 at 3 p.m. The Empire State Service Corps is looking for students to serve 300 hours of public service next academic year. Gain leadership skills, hands-on experience, and make an impact, all while building your resume. Applications for fall 2026 are now open, with priority deadline being on Friday, April 17th. This has been your WONY Weekly Update on WONY 90.9 FM Oneonta. More information about these events and more can be found on Campus Connection. Have a great week, everyone. Keep it locked.
Yo, what's up, everyone? DJ Nas from R2 rocking in here. This is episode 108. 108, everybody. Happy Friday for all those out there. A couple quick announcements before I announce our guest today. First of all, I will not be here next week. I'm not coming in, taking the week off. A huge production of Pink Floyd's The Wall, and that's going to take up 3 days, three whole days of my life. And I would rather get some sleep. I think I probably need sleep because I'm old. 50. I don't know. Is that old? I don't know if it's old or not. I don't feel old, but my body sometimes tells me, oh, no. So we are here this morning with Christina Strain, who owns an amazing business in Gilbertsville, correct?
Correct.
Correct.
Gilbertsville, population 308.
Population 308. We're going to get to that in a minute because that's crazy. And Badger Face Beauty.
Badger Face Beauty Supply.
Supply. That's the technical name right there. Mm-hmm. We're going to get to all this in a minute. This is totally amazing. We're going to play a couple songs today. We're going to start with one. I was talking to her when she just came in about Red Red Wine, the UB40 song, and how it was written by Neil Diamond. And I would say 95% of all songs were written by Neil Diamond.
It seems that way.
It seems that way in the past 50 years. So we're going to listen to his version of Red Red Wine, and then we're going to get into her life and all the amazing things that she has done and is still doing to this very day. So here's the Neil Diamond. I remember this because my mom and dad were really into Neil Diamond. So that's how I knew about this, because they would just continually play Neil Diamond songs. And when UB40, that song came out, I was like, this is a Neil Diamond song. And nobody else knew, really, I don't think, or cared. UB40 is pretty cool, I guess. I only know that song by UB40. I don't know anything else by them.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, but I guess they were relatively big at one point besides that. So here we go. We're going to check this out. Red, Red Wine, the Neil Diamond version, which is the real version.
Red, red wine, go to my head, make me forget that I still need a soul. Red, red wine, it's up to you. All I can do, I've done, but memories won't go. No, memories won't go. I'd have sworn that with time, thoughts of you my head. I was wrong, and I find just one thing makes me forget. Red, red wine, stay close to me, don't let me be alone. It's tearing apart my blue, blue heart. I'd have sworn that with time, thoughts of you would leave my head. I was wrong, and I find just one. It's tearing apart my blue, blue heart.
There it is. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it's like a super mellow Neil Diamond-y. Awesome. Okay, so we're going to get into, first of all, your life from, you know, I used to say from conception, but that's kind of weird.
It's a little weird.
Yeah, it's totally weird, right? like, hey, what were your parents doing? So I guess from exiting the womb is what I like to, the newer version of this, right? Like the...
So we're taking it all the way back.
We're taking it back, right? So we need to, so what we want to talk about is, we're going to start now, talk about from your formative years of when you're barely remembering anything till I would say you started the recent endeavor, an awesome endeavor in your life.
Yeah.
Okay, so... Well, born young childhood.
Yeah, well, I was born in Mount Kisco, New York. My parents were both born in New York City and escaped the city as soon as they were able to. Bought a house in Brewster, New York.
Okay.
Born near there. And then when I was three, they decided to buy a rundown old farmhouse in Delhi.
So the first three, you don't remember much of that, probably, or do you remember anything?
I don't remember anything pre-Delhi, no.
Pre-Delhi, Kisco.
Mount Kisco, yeah.
Yeah, there's a really good, kind of near there, there's a really good, Cajun restaurant called the Bayou, which is cool. But okay, Mount Kisco. So you moved to, and then you go to Delhi.
Yeah, Delhi.
Old Delhi, which we love, by the way. Everyone, shout out to Delhi.
Yeah.
Okay, so 3 years old, go to Delhi, and they bought a farm.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't operational when they bought it, but it was 17 acres, four barns, big old house.
That's huge.
Yeah, it's big. It's, and they still live there. It's a beautiful piece of property.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah,
oh,
Platinum Brook Road.
Wow, that's incredible. And what kind of farm was it, or before they?
It was a dairy farm. You know, that whole area is pretty much all dairy back in the day. But I think, you know, my dad definitely wanted the land. He kind of had a homesteader dream. And he also wanted to start a cabinet-making business. So he commandeered one of the barns, the old carriage barn, to make a woodworking shed, a woodworking shop in there.
Very cool. So is that, did he do woodwork prior to that? Was that his job, or just he just wanted to do it?
He did set design at ABC, actually.
Really?
Things
you learn.
They both had really big jobs, and then they...
That's crazy.
...got... You know, on a different track.
Yeah, you want to get out of the city.
Yeah, yeah, very much.
No, I get it. Okay, so you went to Delhi. All the schooling done in the Delhi area?
Yep, DA, elementary through senior year, graduate.
Okay, cool. So tell us about your, we were talking about your early what you listened to growing up, right?
Yeah.
Which is fitting for the area as well, like a lot of these smaller things, classic country.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I think you can sort of understand who my parents were based on, and are, based on what we listened to in the house. A lot of Willie Nelson, a lot of Bob Dylan, John Denver, Bob Wills. It's like you can tell my dad was not intended to be a city person.
Yeah, I
get based on his taste.
Yeah,
so.
Of course. Oh man, Willie! So have you seen Willie live?
I haven't. But
oh, it's so good. His voice sounds the same. I saw him at like I don't know 20. He played at SUNY. Played at SUNY. I remember his bus driving by. It was like spray painted bus driving by when I was sitting on the front porch of my house on West Street. But yeah, he played here in the late 90s.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he was awesome. I think that was his. Tax evasion tour where he was like raising money to, you know, it's like you can't even get mad at Willie Nelson at
you
all
really
about
can't.
Anything. It's like he could do, I mean, he wouldn't do anything naughty, but like, you know, screwing the government over is one thing. But
yeah,
I mean, come on.
Good for him.
Good for Willie, right? But he had to like pay, he had to sell a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, in order to like pay all those taxes back and whatever, you know, so, but, okay, cool. So what? So tell us about what I'm always intrigued about high school.
Yeah.
I don't know. I find high school to be real. I loved high school. A lot of people did not. Tell us about your high school life, right? Or anything in the high school life at Delhi.
Oh, man. It was not great. I did not like it. I did not thrive. I was a music dork and orchestra dork and a creative writing dork.
Okay.
So I would like hide out with the creative writing club and hide out in the orchestra room basically as much as I could and just kind of wait it out, write it out.
Yeah, it's that's also funny, too, because I go back and look at stuff, and it's like, those are the people that are awesome to me, right?
Yeah,
the creative writers,
people.
The musicians. Like, these are the people, like, I hung out with in high school as well, which I think is why I liked it so much, just playing in a band and whatever, that kind of stuff, you know. But it was all music people.
Yeah.
Like the arts people, the music people, the writers, like those kinds of people are the people I hung out with. Also, creative writing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you still write?
I do, but it's more in the business capacity. You know, it's still creative and it's still fun, but I used to write poetry and I would get these ideas for poems and they would just happen when I was a kid. And that just doesn't happen anymore. I don't have the space in my life, I think, for it.
Sure.
Organically happen. So
yeah, because you're doing other. We'll get to
a lot of other things.
Yeah, a lot of other things. Okay, so that's the writing. And then what instrument did you play?
Cello.
They played the cello. Mm-hmm. So awesome. I had Janet Nepke. Dr. Nepke.
Uh-huh.
She was on earlier in the week, and she taught at NYU.
Really?
For a little bit. She's an amazing cellist, by the way.
She was principal in the Catskill Symphony Orchestra, right?
Yeah, or... but she also did stuff in, like, New York City for a long time. Like, big things under huge conductors. It's totally, like, once again, she was on earlier this week, and I was just like, what? You did what? Like, okay.
That's great.
Yeah, no, totally. Cello's amazing. I love that instrument. It's a great instrument. I'm terrible at string instruments besides the ridiculous ones that I play.
Well, guitar, right?
Yeah, right, whatever. But I don't. Guitar players are a different breed. Well, you know.
I do.
You know of one.
I know of one. I know him pretty well.
You know, actually, we both went to Crane.
Yeah.
Me and Pat.
Oh, really?
Yeah, for guitar.
Okay.
He went for guitar, right? Yeah, he went to Crane.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I went to Crane, too.
He was a voice major back then.
Oh, was he voice?
Yeah.
I know he played guitar, though. He played classical.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
So, like, because that's what I went for trumpet and guitar.
He did do guitar in one of the other stops on his college career.
Okay, yeah, so maybe that was it. I just know he went to Crane for a little bit, and then he also played classical. I remember talking to him about this.
Oh, yeah.
At one point, you know. But like I said, guitar players are a different thing than most other string players. So that's super cool. Do you remember who the orchestra director was?
Of course. David Irvin.
Oh, it was Dave Irvin.
Yeah.
Dave's awesome.
He is.
Dave rocks. Dave's still rocking.
Yeah. Yeah, he is.
Okay. I didn't. Is he still there?
No. No, okay. He's retired now. But
Yeah,
I know he's still playing and still, you know, just the vibe.
Jackie's probably there now. Jackie Gibson.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't really have connections in Delhi.
Okay. That's Darcy Gibson's wife.
Okay.
If you know Darcy, I don't know.
Nope.
Okay. He was in the Zappa band with me for 20 years. He's awesome. But so Delhi.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. I like Delhi. My son plays sports, so we go up there, and that's when I'm mainly up there for, like, sporting activities and stuff. But I absolutely love the look of the building.
Oh, it's a stunning-looking building, yeah.
Yeah, it's like you're coming out of whatever, and you're like, look at this giant mansion on a hill,
right.
You know?
It looks like it should be on the back of a coin or something.
Exactly,
right?
100%. and picks.
Yes, picks.
I have a lot of funny Delhi stories, but it's mainly like picks in the Shire and that little ice cream place next to the gas station that opens seasonally. There's the gas station on the corner by what used to be a grocery store, but it's now maybe like a tractor supply or something.
Yeah, there's a tractor supply there.
Yeah,
at the light.
There's a gas station at the light, but right on the left-hand side before the gas station is a little ice cream joint that opens seasonally.
Okay. I think I know where you mean. I barely go back.
Yeah, I
go
only
to visit my parents, and that's...
Gotcha. I only go there from, like, when I'm going to the city or something. I'm like, oh, the ice cream place is open or whatever. You know, nothing against Delhi. I love you, Delhi.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't venture... There's not... I don't play in Delhi very frequently, music-wise.
Yeah. Yeah. But, yeah, it's a great town. It's changed a lot. You know, this area is... Seen a lot of, I think, positive change with people bringing enterprises up from downstate and, you know, the money to fix up these big old houses, which is really needed. So,
100%.
I think it's great.
Because Lord knows we don't have the money around here to do it.
Right.
For most of us, you know. During that time, right, your folks had, your dad opened up a cabinet business, mm-hmm. correct?
Custom cabinets.
Custom cabinets, very cool. And then what do you do when you graduate Delhi?
I went off to Ithaca College, actually.
Oh, you went to Ithaca?
Yep.
I love it so much. Okay.
Yeah. And that was great. That was like a necessary escape for me to go and like find my people or attempt to find my people and...
Yeah, in a great area. So my whole family is like Cornell.
Oh, no kidding.
Peeps. Yeah. I didn't go, but there was legacy stuff going on from back. So, and Ithaca, of course, which is another great school.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, it's the city there, the Commons.
Mm-hmm.
And the
town was fantastic.
Oh, the town's awesome, man.
Great music scene back then. And
absolutely, the
restaurants.
Haunt.
Yep, the Haunt, the Nines, Castaways. Those were my favorite
Castaways
places.
is still, I went and saw a burlesque show there not long ago. It's called something different than Castaways now. It's
Dockside something. Yeah. I've seen some shows there since it's been.
Yeah, it's still a cool little venue.
Yeah.
What's the L? Oh, and the Moosewood.
Yeah.
I mean, the Moosewood. That's the, mm-hmm. that was the founding concept for the Autumn Cafe.
Yeah. That doesn't surprise me. I can see the through line.
Yeah. They had been, you know, whatever. I think that first Moosewood cookbook bike came out in the late 70s.
Yep.
You know,
I have it.
Yeah, exactly. The original one, the brown cover one. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? The original Moosewood.
It's all handwritten. Yep.
Yeah, it's all handwritten. The Spanakopita from there is amazing. Mm-hmm. That was the founding thing for the Autumn, because when I started working at the Autumn in 98, they had all the Moosewood cookbooks, and they were like, use these as the basis for whatever you come up with. I was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And Carl Sagan.
Yeah.
Who I go visit his grave once a year.
That's awesome.
Because it's in the cemetery. I go once a year so I can go there in Angry Mom Records, and then the bookstore, whatever is attached to that in the Commons. There's a really great bookstore.
Yeah, is that still Autumn Leaves?
Yes.
Yeah.
It is. It's Autumn Leaves, and then on top of it is a record store.
Yeah.
They put a record store up. They're called Angry Mom, which is really, really, really cool. And I guess they've been having shows up there now, too. Cool. What was the major at Ithaca?
I majored in environmental studies.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
And did you complete the 4 years there?
I did.
Wow, good for you.
I'm a little bit on the goody-two-shoes gradient. And
Well, I mean, that's a good thing, right?
Yeah. I mean, I wanted my parents to get their money's worth, I guess.
Oh, yeah, because it's not cheap.
It's not cheap.
No, it's not cheap. Ithaca. But great school.
Yeah.
So you go there, environmental studies,
mm-hmm.
With a concentration on, what was your big thing that you kind of thought about when you were doing that?
Honestly, like, the classes were mostly good, but my favorite thing about college was the Environmental Society. I was super involved in, like, campus life and, you know, doing protests on campus and off campus and just rabble-rousing. I don't know.
Yeah,
it was really fun. There was a really great group of us in the club, and we were always doing stuff on the weekend. So, like, the classes were like, oh, yeah, but then I'm going to go home and I'm going to paint a replica of a power plant, and we're going to put it on the quad, and we're going to talk about, you know, energy bills.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And still relevant to today.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, beyond it, things have not changed.
No.
Even though we want them to.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, cool. So you get a degree in environmental science, and then what happens after the Ithaca
time? There's kind of a lot of I don't know. I don't want to call it a flail exactly, but just like, I had no idea. I wanted a garden and some land, kind of like my parents did, but I didn't want 17 acres. I just wanted, you know, a little plot.
Yep.
And I wanted a husband and a good life.
And you have all these things now, right?
I do, yeah. But it didn't really take me that long. I definitely got the relationship first. That was like the first thing to fall into place. When I was in my 20s, I would talk to my friends and I would be like, the holy trinity of being in your 20s. You can have the great relationship, the great house, or the great job, but you can only have one at a time.
Yeah, right. Did I have, you know what I had? I had the job.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I had a child when I was in my 20s, too.
Yeah.
And there was a relationship there.
Sure.
And it was fine. It was good. It was great. No, it was great. It was amazing. And what was the other one? The house? Yeah, no, house did not happen for me. But I did have the job here. I started here when I was 22.
No kidding.
Yeah.
That's something.
And now I'm 50. So, Sunyoniana, you're awesome.
There's no way I would have been responsible enough at 22 to have a...
Oh, I totally was not responsible enough. I don't know how I'm still here. I'm still here somehow. You would make it work. You know, when you find something that's awesome, you kind of like, even if you're a complete disaster, which we all are at some point in our lives.
Oh, yeah.
It is still to this day, right? Like, you make it work when it's worth making it work for, you know? When did you meet Pat?
Patrick and I met in 2006 on MySpace.
No way! I love this. This is the best story ever.
I love telling the story because it's such a period piece.
My God. Did you have a, what was his music thing? Do you remember? Like when he went on his page? Because sometimes he had
this was before.
Up. Oh, it was before.
Put music on your
remember
profile?
That? You could put it on, it would like
I
play
do.
The music. Oh my God, you met on MySpace.
Yep, February of 2006. And I mean, it was tiny back then. And there weren't a lot of people from upstate New York on it, I guess. And he was sort of in a, let's throw anything against the wall and see what sticks. Place, you know, in terms of relationships and stuff. And,
yeah, that's incredible. Yeah. I love that. I love that for you.
Me too. I mean, it's...
he's awesome.
He is.
That's how I
he's
met you. I met you through Pat.
Yep.
You know, Pat's awesome. Shout out to Pat.
Absolutely.
But that's super cool, and I'm always going to remember that MySpace. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And you're living where?
I was living in Ithaca. I stayed in campus, or in town, rather, after graduation for a few years.
Oh, okay. So you're still living in Ithaca.
Yep.
Okay,
cool. Yep, we're going to College Town Bagels.
And, very cool.
Yeah.
And then, so, you two fall in love.
Uh-huh.
There's a little love story there. And then...
Twitter. Those were birds.
Yeah. And you're in Ithaca.
Mm-hmm.
With the love.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happened?
He lived in Binghamton.
Oh, he lived in Bing.
He lived in Binghamton and he owned a house in Binghamton.
Oh, he owned a house?
Yeah, he was, you know, he had a lot of stuff together for being 27.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, and then did you move to Bing?
I did, because it was just, you know, smart.
Yeah,
like, I rent and you
own. Yeah, he's got a house.
Yeah, he's got a house and a dog and this is great, so.
Yeah, cool.
So, yeah, we lived in Binghamton for a few years and... that was mostly good. It wasn't, I didn't have a big enough yard for my gardening ambitions.
Yeah, you want a garden.
But we had great, great live music and a wonderful place called Cyber Cafe West.
I remember
four
the
blocks
Cyber
away.
Cafe.
Yeah,
it's
we lived four blocks.
Now, right?
Yeah,
it is closed. Yeah. You live 4 blocks from the Cyber Cafe.
It was kind of our living room. And
yeah, I just remember a ton of bands playing there like all the time. But I'd never played there for some reason. I know Randy did. There's a lot of people from here. I know, like, the Oneonta scene that went and played out there for some reason. I never made it out to the Bing. We never busted into the Bing area for some reason. I still haven't busted. I'm playing Binghamton in, or not even Binghamton. Is it Atomic Tom's?
Yeah, that's Binghamton.
Yeah, it's Binghamton. Okay, I'm playing there and the Barleycorn, which is an Owego,
yep.
Or I think I'm playing those two. And I played that other place in Appalachian.
The Ransom Steel?
Yeah, I played there.
Nice.
So, but I was just like a one and done for me in Binghamton. I would like play a place and then not. Oh, and we played with Orlock at some sport.
Yeah.
Some sports club, the Sportsman's Club.
I don't know where that is.
Which
that,
was really weird.
Was that in Binghamton or not?
Yeah, it was like this really weird corner, Irish Sportsman's Club. I played two places with them there somewhere. We had just kind of whatever. It was right, you know, this was a long time ago.
Yeah.
This
well,
is.
Shout out, while we're on the subject, shout out to my husband Patrick Strain's band, Orlock.
Yeah, they're awesome.
Based in Owego.
That's right, based in Owego.
Yeah.
They're also hard to lock down on anything.
They are. Well, there's like 9 people in
the
band.
Yeah, that's
really
incredible.
So forget it.
I'm not even.
But they're great.
They are great. So you're in Bing, and you're there for a couple of years, for a bit more?
4 years, I think.
Four years. And you're working at, what are you doing then?
Actually, I worked at Cyber Cafe.
Oh, you worked at Cyber Cafe?
Yep.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, it was great.
Awesome. And... what got you out of Bing?
Gilbertsville got us out of Bing. I mean, it wasn't like a dire situation. I mean, I really wanted a bigger garden.
Okay.
And I kind of like my parents had, I wanted chickens and I wanted just a little bit more country life. In those days in Bing, we would get out of the city on weekends, take little day drives. And we were just on our way to Gilbert Lake State Park one day, just... you know, for something to do. And we drove through town and said, this is beautiful.
Oh, yeah. It's gorgeous there.
Yeah.
The Major's Inn.
Yeah.
Like, that's the reason there's that other, like, kind of food place. It just opened. It used to be seasonal. I don't know if it's seasonal. There's another restaurant there.
There's a great bakery, Five Kids Bakehouse.
Because there's that.
That's right downtown.
There was another place on that used to have music, too.
The Empire House.
Yeah, yeah. Is that still
yeah.
there?
Yeah, it is. Okay, they're just seasonal. They're like May through October.
That's what I thought. Okay, the yep. Empire House. Yeah, yeah. That's why I know it. Like, because mm-hmm. for those reasons, you yeah. know, like I would go through. I haven't been to Five Kids yet.
Oh, God.
I know. Everybody's what are you telling waiting me. For? I know. Everybody's telling me. I just got to go. They're like, you got to go Saturday and you got to go early.
Yep.
That's what yes. people tell me. And I was like, but that's the day I sleep in. Because I don't get to sleep in any other day.
Well, Sundays are also open. And,
oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, okay. yeah. They're open Tuesday through okay. Sunday.
I got to get there.
Yes, you do.
So you buy a house in Gilbertsville?
Yep, pretty quick.
Okay.
We met the town, I think, weekend. We went and we did our hike, and then we came back into town. We didn't discuss this, but Patrick just turns off the main road, and we take a spin around and noted all the for sale signs, and there weren't a lot, but there were a couple of for sale by owners and then one that had a realty listing. And by the time we got back to Binghamton, he was instantly on realtor.com looking it up, and he yells from the other room, "Hey, that gray one's only $100,000." And that's
amazing,
the one
right?
that we were under contract on like 2 weeks later.
And that's the one you live in
that's
today?
The one I live in. It's no longer gray.
It's no longer gray. And how many, is it like what? How many acres? 1 acre?
Yeah, it's about an acre and a half.
Okay, that's a perfect amount of space.
It's just fine. It's enough.
Okay, this is awesome. I'm learning so many things.
Yeah.
What we're going to do is we're going to play a song right now.
Okay.
And then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about the business. I'm going to skip ahead because
awesome.
the business is huge to me and to you, obviously.
But,
but we want to promote this as well.
Thanks, man.
Last week, when you asked about, hey, how does this run? I said, oh, we play a song. You should bring whatever and only vinyl. And then you said, oh, hey, I like this song. First of all, when you said Born to Run, I was like, what are we doing here?
Not Springsteen.
What are we doing?
The other
Springsteen
one.
Here, right? Right. So I didn't know this song.
Oh, it's a great song.
And then you had said, oh, whatever. And I remember, so there's the Marketplace on Chestnut,
mm-hmm.
which is a very cool antique shop.
Yeah. Great place.
Yeah. And when you had said, oh, you didn't know if you owned it or something, it was literally like half an hour later after you said that. I was like, let me go check this out. So I went down there, and the first Emmy Lou album I found was that.
That's amazing.
And it was on there, and it was $4.50.
Gee.
In really good shape.
That's fabulous.
Which is awesome. So we're going to play this Emmy Lou, and this is from 81. I believe this album is from 81, if I'm correct. And she had a lot of stuff before that.
Oh, yeah.
It was she's crazy. I didn't realize how many albums, because, you know, when you buy something, you go on, I had to go on Wikipedia and be like, oh, what? Where is this album in the chronology of her? I was like, oh, boy.
Yeah.
And she's still amazing.
Oh, God.
I mean, it's like,
she's so amazing.
Oh, it's so good. So this is Born to Run, Emmy Lou. So if you don't know, once again, this is not Springsteen.
Not Springsteen. Born to run.
Okay, that was awesome.
It's a great track.
Yeah, and actually the album, I listened to the album 3 times. It's a great album.
Yeah.
And I did not have any, and this is also very helpful to me because I did not own any. Penny Lou.
Yeah, it was time.
Which is crazy because I was like, oh, I must own some because I have a relatively big, I would say she's classic country. I don't know what you would call it. It's like a little folky country.
She was like outlaw before there was the outlaw.
Yeah. So you know? I was like, oh, I should own some of this. And then when I went back again to the Chestnut Marketplace, there's a ton out there, and it's not that expensive. So
yeah.
I will be buffing up my collection of Emmy Lou stuff over the next year or so. Well,
I'm glad I helped you, discover the...
You did. And I think it's awesome because I'm always looking. I have holes in my closet. We all do. Like, why do I not own this? Like, you know, stupid stuff. I'm like, that's crazy. I don't own this. So enough with all that. We're really what we're here for is the old Badger Face.
Badger Face Beauty Supply.
Which I think is the greatest name ever. And I love it. So that's the first thing I want to ask.
Why
right?
the heck did you name your business Badger Face Beauty Supply?
So, you know, I mean, that's the obvious question, right? I love the name. Yeah. So where does the name come from?
It comes from 30 Rock, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, which I've never seen.
Really? No. Oh, well, that's a bummer. Yeah, yeah, you know, old show with Tina Fey and Alec Baldwin. There's a scene where he says to the Tina Fey character, he says, there she is coming at me with her judgmental little badger face.
That's incredible.
And she makes this face. And I mean, Tina Fey and we have a little bit in common, maybe. And I thought a badger face is like the perfect kind of face you make when you feel like you're being disrespected. Like by the patriarchy, for instance.
That's right.
And I thought, what a great name for a beauty company that wants to kind of challenge all that nonsense.
Very cool.
So that's where it started.
So that's where that comes from, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, so let's talk about the beginnings of the company and what you sell, what you do, where we can buy your stuff, what your, I guess, what do you call statement, what you would say?
Mission?
Yeah, your mission. What's your mission here?
Yeah.
So let's talk about all that. You go ahead and you start.
Yeah,
just
sure.
Just blab it out.
Well, we'll start at the beginning. I was not starting a business. I was starting a side hustle. I had no idea what I was doing. I had like Girl Scout level skills, which I think a lot of us have, whether we recognize it or not, just growing up the way we grew up in upstate with scouting and 4-H and all that kind of stuff, FFA. So I wasn't special. I was just, a little desperate.
Yeah.
Gilbertsville's a hard place to make a living. And I thought, you know, maybe this can work. Maybe I can have a little side hustle. And so it was 2014, right before Christmas. I launched just on Etsy. And immediately it was steady. It was like...
And what were you selling at that point?
Very amateur-looking lotion bars.
Okay.
And what were my first products? Lotion bars and sugar scrubs and like milk baths and bath salts, things like that.
Great. And you were just making these at the house?
Yes. In the kitchen with a mixing bowl.
I love it. As all good things start in the kitchen with a mixing bowl.
Yeah. That was my, not quite the garage, you know, that Apple started in or whatever. But.
Yeah. Still very cool. And okay. So you do that. Etsy's going.
Yep.
Right. And what were like your, what was the first thing you sold? What was the first product you sold?
It was a calendula lotion bar.
Okay, very.
I remember my first order.
Of course. That's awesome.
And it was a friend. Like the first couple weeks, it was mostly friends and,
sure.
and you know, family, which was great. And I remember my first sale to a stranger. And that's when I thought, whoa, you know, like maybe this is actually, people are actually going to find me and like it enough to support me. And so it was just, it was steady. I was bringing out some more products, and a few months in, I think it was March, we had a spare bedroom, so I moved the production, quote unquote, into the spare bedroom. And then another 3 months, I had $500 saved from the business, and I bought a label printer, and it was just like...
It's super
cool. Little bit by little bit.
Yeah. Okay, so that's 2014?
Mm-hmm. Into 15. That's okay. When I moved into the spare bedroom and, you know, and started to...
So you start getting things bigger, right? Things are getting bigger.
Yeah.
At what point, was this at a point now where you said, okay, I can do this?
No, I mean, most of that year was... I was still working. I was working as a marketing writer for Earlville Opera House.
Oh, yeah.
And I was also still doing freelance writing, you know, just digitally.
Yep.
And so, you know, I was like, this is a great new pillar that my little, you know, personal bank account can stand on.
Sure.
But it's not, it can't be the only pillar at that point. But the end of 2015, October hits, and... I mean, you know what a hockey stick looks like, but that's basically just it happened. It came, and it, for whatever reason, my photos were good enough, my products were good enough, or interesting enough. They were certainly interesting.
Yep.
That's when it took off, that Christmas season. And I was roping Patrick in to help me make product before he was going to work, and he was still driving to Binghamton every day.
Yeah.
He was still had his old job there. But that was when it all changed. And I just, you know, held on for dear life.
Yeah.
Put my boots on and said, okay.
And then, so let's talk about the growth of the production.
Yeah.
And so you all of a sudden realize that this is the Christmas season of 2015.
Mm-hmm.
That this is, this is it. Like, we can do this, right?
Yeah.
So... It goes from just you doing it with Pat helping, right?
Yeah.
And then what happens? What's the next step after that?
Well, I asked my 14-year-old neighbor if she could help me after school.
As one does.
As one does.
And which is so cute and awesome, and I love it.
It was great. She was my first employee. And, and then I had a couple more, just, you know, a couple hours a week, mainly just helping with making the product. And I was doing all the packing and shipping and the marketing. But there really wasn't a lot that I had to do in those days because Etsy was such a... It was just delivering, you know, all the eyeballs I needed to, you know, be profitable. Just coming from Etsy. It was great.
Sure.
That is not true anymore.
Truth.
But Etsy was great for maybe 6 or 7 years. And just consistent, reliable, and then it changed, and it changed pretty fast. And so that's been the real challenge of the last couple of years. But I guess I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit because after 3 or 4 years just in our spare bedroom of my house, we were able to put aside some money and buy a commercial property in Gilbertsville. It was bank owned, and we were able to buy the mortgage from the bank.
Very cool.
With cash. So then that was great, and then that facilitated Patrick getting out of his Binghamton job to be the landlord because it's apartments in addition to the business.
Oh, very cool. Yeah. So like the building almost pays for itself.
Oh, very much. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the best way to do it, right?
Yep.
Super cool. So this is in Gilbertsville.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And how big's the, I guess what we call it, your factory? Is that what you call it, a factory?
Yeah. I mean, it's technically a factory. Our heavy equipment is like 2 microwaves and a stand mixer. But
that's incredible. You still do it this way.
Oh, yeah.
That's boggling my mind.
Yeah. I mean, if you're, I don't know, like it's pretty easy to be efficient. You know, if I was making 5,000 of something, I would want more equipment, right?
Sure.
But most of our batches are maybe 50 units max.
Okay.
Sometimes even just a dozen, but the materials are fairly inexpensive. The processes are pretty simple, so.
Yeah.
I don't need an assembly line.
No, and you live off of this.
Yeah.
That's the dream.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm really grateful.
I mean,
really
that's lucky. Crazy. I think it's crazy, and I think it's amazing. Crazy in a good way.
Yeah, yes. Like, it's definitely
like,
crazy.
That's like, what is going you're living off that, and at such a small operational thing. Mm-hmm. So yourself, Pat,
mm-hmm.
and are there any, what are the other, are there any full-time employees?
Not currently. So it's been a real roller coaster the last couple of years with Etsy sort of declining and then me having to figure out how to do my own thing. I've had my own website. The business has had its own website for 10 years, But, you know, it's like Etsy was giving me so much sales I didn't have to worry about. You know, I didn't really have to pay attention to my own, you know, marketing or
What happened with Etsy?
It just got oversaturated.
Okay, is that what it is? Okay.
I think this is kind of the way of all platforms.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, yeah, it's hard to...
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
They all kind of, I don't know, deteriorate over time.
Yep.
So now our own website is our main revenue source.
Yeah, I was on it this morning. It's a good-looking website.
Thanks. Appreciate that. It has been blood, sweat, and tears to get it.
Yeah.
To get it polished up. But
and who does all the website work?
Me.
Is that you?
I am pretty much everything.
You're everything.
Right now. Yeah. I pack, I ship, I make, I write my emails, I do my social media posts, I code the website, I take my photos. Yeah. But yeah. I have had some very, very wonderful employees. And actually, as recently as last July, I was working with a local woman doing, she was our production manager, but she was also a really talented photographer. And having another person to help really helped us level up a lot. So I give her a lot of credit.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
The website, I'm looking at it right now because it's awesome.
Thanks.
A little rebellion never hurt no one. And it's just like, the way you have, smell delicious, feel better. I love it. I was looking at it. It's like, there's some very funny things on here as well. It reminds me of the Thug Cookbook.
Yeah. Do
you know the Thug Cookbook?
I do. It's Thug Kitchen. Yep.
It's like the Thug Kitchen. This is like the Thug Kitchen version.
I took
beauty supplies.
I confess, I did take a tiny bit of inspiration from them when I was starting the branding. Like the voice, I loved, and I still do, love their voice in their recipes that they would use.
Well, it's funny because you read it and you can read it to yourself and say the things mm-hmm. and you feel...
You just chuckle.
It's fun. Yeah, exactly. And you're like, oh, that's amazing.
Yep.
And there's some really awesome, look at this, coconut mango...
Resting.
Can I say the B word? Does it say, what does it say on there?
It looks like you can say the B word.
Oh, there's okay. For $19.99, you can get the coconut mango resting bitch face scrub. All right. This is just amazing, right? can you say the A word, ASS, or am I allowed to say
that? No, that's on your no-no list.
That's okay. That's the ham bomb for grown word I can't say, women.
Grown women.
That's right. All of these are amazing. The titles.
A lot of stuff you can't say on the radio.
That's right. But the website, which is, once again, Badger Face Beauty Supply, one word, right? BadgerFaceBeautySupply.com. The website's, this is just on my phone, too, which looks a little different sometimes when you go on the internet, you know. But it's gorgeous, and it pops.
Thanks.
Yeah, and it's really important that it does that. You know, I always say when you're going to have something online, you got to make sure, number one, when you type in the thing, it's the first thing that comes up,
mm-hmm.
which this does.
Good.
It took me 1 second to find it, right? It was not hard to do. And then when you look at the site, you got to be like, hey, now. Because if it's just a plain boring thing, it doesn't even matter what the product is. You'll, like, flip through it, right?
Yep.
I always tell everybody this with, like, flyers, too. If you're going to put something out, you're marketing something. Or an album or a mm-hmm. band name. Like,
of course.
You know, if you plug it in and it doesn't, there's not something all automatic there that goes bing. Like, you'll just skip over it very quickly, you know?
Yep.
All these things are locking in, it looks like, for what you're doing.
Thanks. It's been a heck of a road to get here. But, you know, we get a little bigger and more, just like more stability and more attraction, I guess is the word.
Yeah.
Every year.
What are the, so this is 2026, right? Mm-hmm. What are, let's say, top three, what you think are the three newest, fun, something somebody should try things of the year thus far?
well, like my products?
Yeah, the products. yeah. Oh, no, I don't, whatever. it's fun.
No.
The products.
My products. Well, we make lip scrubs that are really, really delicious.
Lip scrubs?
Yeah.
Exactly. What is a lip scrub?
A lip scrub is it's basically granulated sugar in a lip balm base.
Okay.
So you've got the exfoliation from the sugar. It tastes delicious because sugar. And then...
right?
And then you just, you rub it on, you, you know, exfoliate all your dry, you know, winter lip skin. Yeah.
Okay.
And then you can lick off the sugar or you can wipe it off with a washcloth. And then you've got the lip balm base that's left behind and that'll nourish everything.
What
and
flavors we got of this?
We've got a mint frost. We've got a berry cream. We've got a wine lips, which is like blackberry sangria flavor.
Okay.
Wow. And then we have a seasonal one called Sultry Sugar Plum.
Ooh. Mm. Okay, so there's some lip scrubs.
Mm-hmm. That coconut mango resting bitch face scrub is a great one, and that's been a really strong seller the last couple weeks. A lot of people just found us because we did a YouTube video.
Yeah, the YouTube video is amazing.
Yeah, Gab Small, if anybody knows her. She came out and did a whole story on Gilbertsville and featured the business. So
yeah, it was wild. I shared this on my page. I will, sometime this coming week, I'll put some links up on my What's in Your Pocket, too, for people to check out the video.
Awesome.
And also for the website.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah.
So there's that one. That one's, I mean, mango coconut.
Yeah.
How can you go wrong with that combination?
Real coconut milk powder and real mango extract powder.
Amazing.
It smells great.
I'm sure it smells amazing. And third, give me a third one.
Third, I would say our skincare line. We make a turmeric-based skincare line called Glow Face.
Okay.
And it's seven products. You know, there's a serum, there's a toner, there's a night balm, there's a face mask. You really can't go wrong. It's not overkill. It's just enough for, like, your morning, your evening, and maybe once a week you do a face mask.
Okay. Turmeric's good for...
Brightening. Yeah. Okay. And got a lot of antioxidants in there, a lot of vitamins.
It's a very interesting substance. It's good for, I like it in tea, like a lot of the teas I drink have it in it as well.
Mm-hmm.
Turmeric ginger kind
or
of stuff.
Or you can do the latte thing with the like foam milk. Yeah.
Wow.
Or what do they call it? Glow milk?
Glow milk. Okay. So we have, what are the socials we have here?
So we are Badger Face Beauty on Instagram and on Facebook.
Okay.
That's simple. Yep. Just
keep it simple.
Yep.
Then that's the best way to go. And then there's the website, mm-hmm. which is badgerfacebeautysupply.com.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you going to be? Now, public appearances, right? Are there any public appearances in 2026?
There certainly will be. We don't do a lot of off-site events because we have our... we have our shop space and we have, you know, open hours, open to the public.
Yeah, can people come and buy stuff there at the shop?
Yeah.
Oh, they can.
Yeah.
Okay, very cool.
Yeah. Wednesday through Saturday, nine to four roughly. Usually I'm off, noon to one for lunch, but I literally live 3 minutes away. So.
Gotcha. Very cool. And this is, what's the address?
It's 122 Marion Avenue, right in Gilbertsville.
Very cool. And you can go in here and buy stuff in person.
Mm-hmm.
You can get stuff through. Do you still have an Etsy shop or not?
We do.
Okay, yep. There's an Etsy shop. You can go on the .com site. You can hit up the socials, which I'm sure will send you to the .com site. And that's where all the ordering is done.
Yep. And we will be at Pride Fest. We like to do Oneonta Pride.
That's
always really fun. And then we usually do City of the Hills in the fall.
That's right. And then City of the Hills Fest as well. And okay, so we've learned a lot today. Some really amazing.
It's been a voyage of discovery.
That's right. I don't know. I think the best thing about doing this radio show for me is just getting people here one-on-one and talking to them about stuff and just being like, that's crazy. Like, in an amazing way. People are amazing.
Yeah.
Right. And there's a lot of them. And you could just look at somebody that walks by you and be like, whatever. But then you're like, what did that person do? And when you sit down, you're like, that's really, really, really cool. You just kind of realize how small my circle is in comparison to everything else that's going on sometimes, you know, and you're just like, that's really, I don't know, amazing. And I love the creative aspect of stuff. And for you to be able to do this for a living.
Yeah. It's a lucky thing. And I'm working my butt off too.
I don't think I never say there's luck. I say there's what's called good chance.
I mean, I think my timing in terms of doing the type of business I was doing at the moment that I started to do it, I think that was, maybe chance is a
good
better
chance.
Word for
I mean, you put it out there.
Yeah.
If you don't put it out there, there's no chance.
There
right?
was definitely bravery to do that.
Oh, right?
And
sinking yourself into something like that is
yeah,
can be gut-wrenching at the same time. You're like, if this doesn't work, you know, then I'm like, but blah, blah, blah. But yeah, it's amazing. I'm so glad that this happened for you and for world that we have this going on. And in Gilbertsville, nonetheless, which is amazing. I actually drove through it on the way back from... I went to All County this year. It was during a crazy snowstorm.
Mm.
And I almost, like, everybody that drove there almost perished.
Jeez.
Because
Gotta love upstate winter.
Yeah, no, it was like, and it was like, oh, it's a Saturday morning, and there's, like, crazy snow and ice, and, like, I took a back route from, like, here. It was like, I came back through Gilbertsville. I can't remember where it was. It was, like, in the middle of... some small town.
That narrows it down. No, it doesn't.
It doesn't narrow it down. But it was one of those things where it's like, oh, it's on a hill, you know, and it's like 5,000 cars like sliding off the road. But I came back to Gilbertsville and I was like, oh, the Major's Inn. The last time I was at the Major's Inn, I played there with a jazz band for like a wedding or something. And it was just a gorgeous outside thing or whatever.
You got to get yourself over to Gilbertsville. Get a pastry, get a coffee
at the
bakehouse. Come around the corner, visit the shop.
Yeah.
We're right around the corner from the bakehouse.
Yeah, that's right. And buy some beauty supplies so you smell good.
And just come say hey.
And come say hey. So we want to thank Christina for coming on the show this morning.
You.
And last thing I always ask all the guests, favorite restaurant in Oneonta.
Oh, man.
If you're going to go to a restaurant, like suppose tonight, like you were going to like, I'm going to go to dinner. Where would you go to dinner tonight?
Depends on if we're feeling sushi or if we're feeling something else. Half the time we do.
Let's say sushi. Let's say you're feeling sushi.
Tokyo.
You're going to go to Tokyo.
We love it. It's just so simple and
it's pretty quick, too.
It's fast. Yep. And
fast and fresh.
It's got vegetarian rolls for my husband.
That's right.
He's a vegetarian.
Is he a veg?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, okay,
he's been a vegetarian more than half his life at this point.
Yeah, maybe I did know that. Okay, cool. So,
how about you? Where are you going?
Where am I going? Ooh.
Friday night? I know you go to the B-side a lot.
I go to the B-side a lot because I love it there.
I love the B-side.
You know, my other go-tos have been Star Mix. Yeah, exactly, right? It's on Chestnut Street.
Okay.
In Mediterranean food.
Okay.
And it's in an old house.
I just drove by there.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's really good. For $20, you can get amazing food. And they are super nice.
Awesome.
Right? Azul.
Yeah.
Which I absolutely adore. And I also love Simply Thai.
Yeah.
Like those three places. But I went to this week. I support a lot of businesses. I went to Feel Good Smoothie this week and got the tempeh banh mi. And that was.
We tried that a couple weeks ago at your recommendation. Solid.
It's solid.
Yeah.
No.
Really?
The thing with the banh mi is it's like really supposed to be pork.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you replace it with anything, it's going to be different. But it's pretty good. The tempeh banh mi is pretty good there.
Definitely.
So, I'm going to sign this off with the UB40 version of Red Red Wine, which is probably the version that most people know. I will not be here next week. I will be back in 2 weeks. And everybody, rock and roll and keep it locked. This is Wony 90.9 FM. What's in your pocket?
It's tearing.